Good morning. It's good to see each of you. It's good to be in the house of worship again this morning. We've gathered to worship Jesus, and it's our desire to follow him, and that's what brings us together. I trust that's why you're here this morning. We know it's a special morning for Jordan and his family, and good to see his family and friends gathered here to support him. I want to welcome you all to this time, and it's obviously a big moment when a young believer in Christ makes this public acknowledgement to follow Christ. And baptism is very important time, very sacred time, and hopefully for each of us here today, regardless, I don't know who would be here that's been baptized the longest, but I trust each of us can again reflect on the vows that we made to follow Christ, to be part of God's kingdom, and to be separate from the world and to live for God. I trust that we can again make that commitment in our heart as we go through the baptism this morning. Today is also another, I'm going to call it a special day. I don't want to detract from the baptism at all, because in my opinion, that's the most special reason we're gathered here this morning. But in our community, actually across the world, November is held as an awareness month, and today especially. And I guess I'm going to put it out there to you. Does anyone know what that, I'm going to call it an activity. I don't know a better, really how to label this. Some of you have been involved with it, and November is labeled as an awareness month for this. And today is called a world awareness of this. And later in the month, U.S. has a day designated, I think it's the 22nd, that's designated as an awareness to this. And I want to bring this in this morning because I think it ties in. I want to use it. So anyone brave enough to make a guess? I see the wheels spinning a little bit, and some people maybe just don't want to. So November is known as Adoption Awareness Month. And today is the World Awareness, Adoption Awareness Day. And then later in November, we have, I think it's the 22nd, is National Awareness of Adoption. Adoption is also a spiritual term. And adoption is important when we think about baptism. So I have entitled the message this morning, Adopted and Baptized. Now I know adoption and baptism are both big subjects, so we can only hit the high points. And there's a definite difference between adoption and baptism, but the differences, I believe, enhance the beauty of the relationship that we find going on here. Adoption is all about choosing. And spiritually, adoption is about a father choosing to accept us into his family. And baptism is when we choose to follow God and we make that public. Adoption is our father's choice. Baptism is our choice. So we have that. We have the difference there. But yet I believe that they enhance each other very well. So I'd like to spend a little bit of time this morning thinking about adoption and finish up with a few more specific thoughts on baptism. And Jordan, for you personally, I would suggest that you could consider this today as your adoption finalization ceremony. We call it baptism. But if you've been around anybody that's been involved in adoption, maybe friends or relatives, you know that there's that big moment when everything comes before the judge and the adoption is made official. There's much preparation. There's much anticipation for this big moment. The adoptive family, the child to be adopted, they gather before the judge. And the judge goes over the last minute details, makes sure that everything is in place. He double checks things before he solemnly declares adoption granted. And that gavel comes down on the desk. Now, we could say that the adoption finalization hearing is just a ritual, because everything has been put in place before the hearing. All the important work has been done. But I would like to say this morning that without the ceremony, the adoption is never complete. You know, it doesn't matter how much that family loves that child, but until the adoption happens, it's not finalized, it's not permanent. And I'd like to suggest that this morning, as we think of baptism, there's been a lot of work done up to this point. There's been a lot of things put in place. There's been some time spent. And Jordan has spent personal time considering this. Together as a church family, we have supported him. We have given him some counsel, some guidance, some instruction. But here we are at this big moment for him. Now, Brother Joe isn't a judge. He won't be bringing down the gavel. However, there are some important things that will happen this morning. And we can look at this as a ritual. But I'd say what is happening this morning is a requirement by God to place you into his family. Today, if you are in Christ and baptized, you have been adopted. And if you have been adopted, you will be baptized. I would like to start by looking at what the Bible says. Just a couple verses about adoption. Galatians 4, verse 3. And then we want to go to Romans. But I want to read just a couple verses here. Galatians 4, verse 3 says, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Precious words there that speak about what happens when we become part of God's family. Let's turn back to Romans 8. Romans 8, let's start reading at verse 12. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." We could look at examples in the Bible of individuals who were adopted. Moses, Esther, Mephibosheth, Joseph's two sons by their grandpa. We can think that adoption is common and always has been common. But Jerry Beyer, who is a law professor from the Texas School of Law, he wrote this: "The ability of a person to adopt a non-biological person and cause that person to be treated as a biological child was recognized thousands of years ago. However, the concept of adoption was beyond the grasp of common law attorneys and courts. The idea that a person could have legal parents, other than the biological mother and biological father was unthinkable in terms of the law. In fact, English law did not recognize adoption until 1926. Accordingly, modern law relating to adoption developed in the United States, with Vermont and Texas taking the lead with their legislators enacting adoption statutes in 1850. The practice of adoption has been around for a long, long time, but not the formal legal proceeding until rather recent history. And I found that interesting, and my comment on that would be that I believe that adoption is designed by God. You know, law struggles to relate to love, choice, and acceptance. Law relates to evil, wrongdoing, and keeping order. Law will struggle to know how to relate to the issues of the heart. Law struggles to relate to adoption because adoption is built on a foundation other than a legal process. Now, let me just highlight the beautiful foundation of adoption. Adoption is all about relationship. We use big words when someone accepts Jesus as Savior. We say repentance, confession, justification, regeneration, sanctification, restitution. These all are processes that happen when we choose to follow Christ. They're very important. They're necessary. And we don't want to ignore any of them. But they generally focus on our spiritual life. They focus on what happens in our spiritual journey. Repentance, confession, justification, sanctification. It's either a co-effort between God and the sinner, or it's up to the sinner to do this when they're reaching out to God. But the beautiful thing about adoption is it's all about relationship. Adoption focuses on the choice that Father God is making, and He wants to receive you as His son or His daughter. He wants you in His family. He wants to have a relationship with you. The big question this morning for each of us is, have you been adopted into the family of God? Have you been adopted into the family of God? Adoption isn't about performance. Adoption isn't about how smart you are or how good looking, your genetics or your potential. Adoption is about God accepting you as His son or daughter. Now, I know that gets misused drastically and can be, we can veer off to the left or to the right like we talked about in our Sunday school lesson. But I believe it's very important for us as God's children to appreciate what God the Father does for us when He says, I will adopt you into My family. God wants relationship with you, and He has put everything in place so that you can have relationship with Him. When you reach out to Him, He is standing there with open arms. And this morning, if you've not been adopted into God's family, God is there. Father God is there waiting for you, longing for you. He wants to have relationship with you. The core of adoption is chosen, loved, and accepted. And every heart longs for that, physically, in a family relationship, but yet also spiritually. We're all longing, every one of us, we want to be wanted. We want to be loved. We want to be accepted. We need that in our personal lives, but this also applies to us spiritually. So let's break that apart a little bit. What does that look like? There are those who need to be adopted into a family. And we know that reality in the community around us, in the world around us. There are those that need to be adopted into the family. But we know that also spiritually. We don't need to go very far at all to find people who are not a part of God's family. And God wants to adopt them. And we this morning can help with that. So the reality of this is there are those who need to be adopted into a family. The other thing is God has absolutely no obligation to us. God is doing this because he loves us and he wants to have a relationship with us. Nothing at all makes God where he has an obligation to us. Can we appreciate that this morning? God desires to have a close family relationship with each one of us. There are, as you know, in relationships, we're all involved in relationships, and there's different levels to these relationships. There's different intensities to these relationships. You might know somebody by their name. You see them occasionally, you know their name. You might know somebody a little better. You know where they live. You know where they work. You know how many children they have. You might know their children's names. And then there's some people that you know maybe quite well. You know when they get up. You know if they like butter on their toast. You know the exact room temperature that they like. You know what makes them cry. You know what makes them laugh. You know what struggles are going on in their heart. And you know what color their toothbrush is. It's called a family relationship. And that's the relationship that God wants with each of you. That's the relationship that God desires. And that's why he has put this in place. That we can be adopted into his family. But there's only one way that God can have this relationship with each of us this morning. And that is to have a family relationship. The stark contrast to this, obviously, is the slave and master relationship, and that is built on fear. We could look at that this morning, too. The relationship between a slave and a master, and that's all abounds because of fear of the master. God wants you to feel his love. Adoption gives you a new name and a new identity. We read these verses here in Romans 8. When we are adopted, the works of the flesh no longer define who we are. And that can be a big thing, and that's something that's probably called a process that we still struggle with. But we do not live to the flesh. The flesh needs to die. And we do that through the Spirit. We mortify the deeds of the body. We're adopted, so we have a new name and a new identity. We now do what the sons of God do because we're part of a new family. You know, Jesus had a big discussion with the Pharisees about who their father was. He had some harsh words. And it was because the Pharisees were still a part of the family of darkness. Jesus gives us a new name. And maybe we really don't know what that is or what that all means. Here in verse 17 in Romans 8, he calls us joint heirs with Christ. We know that we're joint heirs. That's maybe a label more than a name. But we do know that it's in verse 23. Romans 8 talks about the adoption process, and it's the final redemption of our body, I believe, is the completion of all this. It says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. There is coming a day, and it talks about this in Revelations, where we will know what our new name is. And this is obviously part of the process, but adoption gives us a new name and a new identity. And that process is starting as we are part of God's family and when we accept God's way and follow God's way. Adoption admits us into all the privileges of the children of God. Again, we see that happening here in these verses. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And verse 16 talks about the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Adoption admits us into this all the privileges of the children of God. And the same Spirit that was with Jesus when he walked on earth, that same Spirit we have access to. That Spirit's in our heart. That Spirit is ours because we are the sons of God. It's that inner being that's dwelling in our heart. And then again, probably the privilege that we're all looking forward to is the eternal destiny with our spiritual family. Someday, we look forward to that. And that's why we're making these decisions today, because someday we can be with our heavenly family. We won't be in some basement apartment somewhere. We will be in the throne room with our Father and with Jesus the Son. Adoption was God's goal from the beginning of time. Ephesians says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And I want to highlight that because I believe adoption is God's good pleasure. The beauty of adoption, whether in a family setting, church community, or whether it's in the family of God, the beauty is to see the choosing, the loving, the accepting. And I know we live in a sin-cursed world where this sometimes gets messed up. However, I believe the pattern is there and the picture is there, and I believe it's designed by God, and it's something that God wants us to appreciate in our spiritual lives and also even in our families and communities. Hopefully this stirs your appreciation to be adopted into the family of God. What should our response be to this? When you think about what God put in place for us, no obligation. He says, I want you in my family. What should our response to that be? I would say this morning that one of the things to obey Jesus' command, one of the things we do in response to this is to obey Jesus' command to be baptized. Matthew 28 have the important words for this. Jesus' words, Matthew 28 says, I want to make sure I get them correct here. Jesus speaking, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Specifies baptism as an important part of bringing all people into the kingdom. Another verse that clearly states the need and importance of baptism is in Acts 2, and I'll just read that. Peter speaking, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Baptism is part of the salvation process. Later in the book of Acts chapter 8, Philip, with the eunuch, explaining to him the way of salvation. Verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. There we have the essence of baptism. Believe with all your heart. Baptism means we have turned from the old life of sin to a new life in Jesus Christ. We can call that repentance, regeneration, sanctification. Baptism means we are publicly identifying with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism means we are openly joining the ranks of those who believe in Jesus. Baptism is an outward visual sign that we're willing to obey all of Jesus' commands. You know, salvation, it affects our inner being, but it also affects our outer being, physically and spiritually. Salvation is more than just the head knowledge. It is to be expressed in our everyday activities. And baptism is our pledge before God and man that we have more than a head knowledge, but that we are willing to live out our desire to follow Christ in our daily lives. I had to think back to a couple years ago when we were at Pilgrim Bible School, and in our Modern Religious Voices class, there was two questions that came up, and the youth wrestled with these for a little while. And I'm going to just comment on these a little bit this morning. And the first one is it necessary to be baptized to be saved? And the second one is, why is baptism tied to local church membership? You know, we can struggle to know the answers to those questions. My opinion is that they're modern day questions. I feel the early church, to them, this was never an issue. And maybe the best way to answer these questions is to honestly and carefully think about why people want these options. Maybe that's a clear indication of the motivation for the question. So why would you want to be saved but not baptized? Why would you want to be baptized but not be recognized with the local church family? Remember Jesus' words. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost." Yes, we know there are rare exceptions where it's not possible. We know the thief on the cross, he confessed belief in Jesus. It was impossible for him to be baptized. But I think according to the scripture, it's clear that the saved will be baptized. And I think we need to keep promoting that message because Jesus told us. And again, being baptized clearly shows a heart that desires to follow all the teachings of Jesus in every area of our life. That's why we want to be baptized. What about baptizing, tying us into local church membership? You will hear Brother Joe this morning welcome Jordan into the Mount Joy Church family. I would suggest a couple things, that this is the example of the early church. This is what we see happening in the early church. They were tied to the church, the local church. And another thing I think is beautiful in my mind is in the book of Revelations, we have a picture of Jesus. And he's standing in the midst of the churches. So this morning, if you want to be with Jesus, where is Jesus? He's among the churches. He's standing in the midst of the churches, and those churches were more than just a spiritual, invisible thing. They all had a physical name. They all had a physical location. They all had a local reputation. These churches were very local church gatherings, and this is where Jesus is standing, and we want to be with Jesus among the churches. Daniel Kaufman says in his book, he says, as spirit baptism initiates into the invisible church, so water baptism initiates into the visible church. And he has some scripture to go with that. So this morning we are gathered and we want to observe the ordinance of baptism, and we're very thankful for that this morning. In Acts, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Well, this morning we have one soul, and I'm not sure how long it would take to baptize 3,000 souls. But it would be an amazing thing if that would happen. But I think whether it's one or whether it's many, that we need to all purpose to follow Jesus' command to be baptized. And we're thankful this morning that we can be adopted into God's family, and then as a sign of that, we can be baptized, and in that, We are acknowledging what Jesus did for us. When Jordan comes up front here, and as he kneels, and the water is poured, and then he rises to his feet, he is acknowledging to all of us that he is identifying with Jesus when he died, when he was buried, and when he was raised to life. And that's what, when we're baptized, we rise with Christ to a brand new life. And that is the message today. So let us again reflect on what God has done for us as we observe this time of baptism.